On this episode of Still Loading...
What in the world is this thing?
What? That's a brainwashing machine.
Yeah! We'll have your brain clean, pressed, and on a hanger in no time!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Koval, and today we are back with some more Captain N goodness. We are talking episode 10, Simon the Ape Man, and my partner in crime, my co-host with the mo-host. It's a word now. Co-ho with the mo-ho. You have the most hoes. I don't know.
I guess so, yeah.
That's totally Dexter. Dexter Morrill is with me. Dexter, how are you doing?
That's me. We're up to more Captain Shenanigans.
Captain Shenanigai. multiple shenanigans. You know, that's because that's how English works. So Captain N, episode 10, Simon the Ape Man. This episode is all over the place. There is so much happening in this episode, and I could love it, but it's really poorly paced, but I still love it at the same time.
Yes, I might be showing my hand early here, but I'm going to put it out there. I think this might be my favorite episode so far. I'm going to go there.
I don't know if it is, but I really like it. I definitely really like it. This was written once again by Jeffrey Scott. Jeffrey Scott, please come on the show.
Please, Jeffrey, love you.
Please, Jeffrey, we love you. It came out on November 11th, 1989. Normally, I always like to say, like, what songs appear in, you know, like, what songs that obviously they don't have the rights to. As according to Wikipedia, there is none. I didn't hear the filler music that we normally do. So I wonder if there was just none in here, which is fine. But the whole premise of this episode is Simon suffers a blow to the head. I'm reading this off of Wikipedia because it's actually really... It's really concise. Simon suffers a blow to the head and thinks he's Donkey Kong Jr. And there is so much more to the story than that, but that is pretty much it in a nutshell.
Yes. That description does not do the episode justice.
It does not. There is so much happening. So, Dexter, what is the first thing that stuck out to you about this episode? But, you know, this is the portion of our talks where it's more, you know, we can jump to any point in the episode and just pick out one thing that we just thought was insane or our favorite part or whatnot.
I guess first thing was this was the wrong title for this episode. I think it should have been Simon Belmont, N-Team Hunter, Captain N-Hunter, or whatever he calls himself in the middle of the episode.
Maybe just Simon in Search of His Brain. And I don't even mean that in a derogatory sense. I mean, he's an idiot, but like there's so much that the ape man part is like the last third of the episode.
Right. But I guess we've got that pattern because the three men and a dragon, that was like that lasted like 30 seconds.
Well, that was like at least the last half of the episode. You know, they met the baby dragon like a little before halfway, and then they did all the stuff. So like that plot point at least occurred about halfway through the episode. But then there was barely any scenes with the three men and the dragon.
Yeah, the rest of it's in your imagination. The other thing that stuck out to me was like this was one of the first times that the writing had me like, oh, that was clever. Like that, I don't know. Like there were definitely some jokes that make you want to just like turn it off and walk away.
Oh, there's always. I mean, if you did that for any of these episodes, you'd have turned it off like every single time.
But this also had some of the best jokes too. Like I don't know, something about the writing of this one really tickled me, and we'll get into it when we talk more about it.
For me, I just really liked the thing that stood out to me was all the brainwashing segments. The brainwashing segments were some of the most insane portions of this episode, and we'll get into that. I just use that as a teaser for like slightly before midway portion of the episode. So the episode begins with an evil vampire known as the Count, which I thought was weird because we know that's Dracula. They've referenced him as Dracula numerous times in previous episodes of the show, but he's just called the Count in this, and I don't know why. Did Bram Stoker's people like yell at them, like, you can't call him Dracula?
Yeah, especially since I think the narrator starts out that saying that we're in the world of Castlevania, so like, I don't even know where there would be any kind of confusion with that. I was just excited to see the mullet with the on the bat again.
that design I love, but at the same time, I'm just so over it. Like, I'm just tired of seeing it now. I'm like, this bat mullet's got to go, man. Like, I'm done with it. I don't want to see it anymore. So he decides to raise an army of zombies with this vial of blood. Like, he has a little vial and he just pours it on the ground. And that's zombies.
I was like, is that blood in this cartoon right now? He doesn't designate it at, like, this is blood.
It's a little more orange than blood, too. Like, it seems like they definitely were like, well, we can't call this blood, so we'll just make it orange. And it's like, you know, it's orange juice. I don't know. That'd be funny if they called it orange juice.
I wouldn't put it past the writing team on this, but
neither would I.
I was just shocked. I was like, this is surprisingly dark. Like, this was the first thing that kind of hooked me. Like, oh, okay, stakes are high already.
But then they screw it up immediately because it's not referenced like ever again. Like, you know what happens, and that's the whole reason why they have to get Simon to Castlevania. That's the beginning of the episode. They want to get Simon to Castlevania because they find someone calls them from Castlevania, tells them what's happening. One of those
businessmen.
It was a businessman. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like, Castlevania is known to be like, it's more medieval. It's a medieval world. Right. So why is there a guy in a suit that's calling, and he just doesn't fit in with the background at all? It doesn't make any sense. So, but they get the call, and we're going to backtrack a little bit. I'm just kind of explaining like how little this Dracula plot line is in the episode. Once they determine they need to go to Castlevania's, it's right after Simon loses his memory. And then the rest of the episode is them trying to get his memory back until the last 3 minutes when they show back up in Castle. They conveniently get back to Castlevania, and that's when that plot wraps up. So it's so strange that like the inciting incident to this episode is referenced in the first 3 minutes, and then in the last 3 minutes, the middle like 16 or 17, never touch it. Never bring it up. It's not part of it.
For some reason, it was brilliant to me when I watched it, because when it came back, I was like, oh yeah, so when it came back, I was like, oh yes, this is awesome. Like, I guess if it was any other kind of like plot that they had dropped, because I feel like they've done that before where like, here's a plot and then we're not going to pick it back up till the end. But for some reason, like, this badass intro with Dracula was interesting enough for when I was like lulled into this brainwashing stuff and the amnesia stuff that when it came back up, I was like, yes, like, I don't know. I just got really excited that I forgot.
That's so funny, because I remembered the whole Castlevania subplot when they're trying to get Simon's memory back. I'm like, what's going on with Castlevania? Like, they're just leaving these, like, what the poor civilian population of Castlevania is just, what, getting killed by zombies right now, and they're busy like, why can't Kevin go and save Castlevania? It has to be Simon. It makes no sense. So once that scene happens, though, like, once you see the inciting incident, then it cuts to the end team in the Palace of Power, and Kevin is skateboarding inside and he's showing off tricks, and then Simon basically is like, you know, Princess Lana's like, can you teach me that? And Simon goes, oh, I can teach you something better. And which sounds a little menacing with how he treated Princess Lana in the previous episodes, not going to lie. But he gets an ironing board, and all of a sudden wheels show up underneath it. Like, when he puts it down to stand on it, there's no wheels. But then he kicks off, and all of a sudden there's wheels under it.
Yes, I thought the inconsistency was strange. When he was like, when they pointed out it was an ironing board, I was like, it's going to be interesting to skate on this. But then when they showed him skating, I was like, oh, it has wheels?
There was no wheels when he put it down. When he put it down, it was just flat on the floor. Yeah. And then all of a sudden there's wheels, which is just, what? Like, I don't understand. Yes. So he So he goes around and Kevin starts chasing after him, trying to show that he's, you know, the pro skateboard. He's Tony Hawk's pro skater, man. And he's chasing after him. And then Simon rips off a drape and throws it on Kevin, and it causes Kevin to fall, and he gets caught by Mega Man. And then Simon is like, this is called ironing the shirt, and he rips his shirt off. And you just see this buff dude with suspenders over his nips, and he is ironing a shirt on the ironing board. And then the ironing board raises up to the ceiling, and then he crashes into the top of the doorway. And that's when he hit his head and he loses his memory. And that is the other half of the inciting incident. Dracula is raising a zombie army, and the only person who can defeat him forgot who he was.
Exactly. Yes, I was actually excited at first because I was like, Simon's not using his whip right now in some absurd way for skateboarding.
But then he does.
But then he ends up in, like, to throw the fabric, he uses his whip, which was very like, okay, touche, Jeffrey Scott, finding a weird way to use the whip. Before he fell off the ironing board, he extended it so that it was like standing up like an ironing board.
Yeah.
And I was actually like, once again, this episode surprising me. I was like, oh, that's actually kind of cool. I like that. I like the joke that he's ironing and that he actually looks kind of cool skating on an extended ironing board.
an ironing board that it's almost like a car that its wheels get raised up. I forget what that's
called. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Like the Gadget Mobile, like Inspector Gadget's car.
I do like how they visually portrayed his amnesia, where it after he gets into the crash, then it shows it from his perspective with everything upside down, and then it's him standing, and the camera goes right side up, which I thought was like a good way of kind of hinting that he lost his memory, he forgets who he is, he forgets what he does, type of thing. And this part actually confused me at first. So the accident happens, and then they get a call, and then you see like a light flashing above the door frame that he just got knocked into, and I could not understand what the robocall's voice was. I know now it says call for Simon Belmont, but it was very muddled. Did you have an issue hearing that too?
I did not even hear that at all. So,
well, there you go. Yeah. So it says call for Simon Belmont. Now, in that shot, so if you can picture this, Dex, you see the broken archway that Simon like rammed into. There's the light above it, which is flashing to signal the call is here. If you look over to the right, the end team is on the right. Simon's still on the left, right below the crushed arch. And if you look over to the left, right above the end team, there are snake symbols again. There's a two. There's a snake in the shape of a two. And then there's one that clearly looks like it's going to be a three, but it's cut off by the side of the screen. Like the screen doesn't go. They didn't animate that far to the right. It's just, you know, that's where the shot ends on the edge of the frame. But it's clearly a snake in the shape of a two, and there's another like hole right above it. Are we finding the through line with all of these episodes that snake toilets are actually in every room of the Palace of Power?
I think you've cracked it. I think you've cracked the code.
I might have to take a screen grab and just tag Stefan and just be like, Dexter and I are watching for the next Captain N, and I think we found another snake toilet. It's even marked as number two. It's even marked as number two. It's the second one.
Well, we also know what we use it for.
Yes, we do. Oh my gosh, I'm really excited. Not about them using it for number two. That's gross. But like the fact that we found a second snake toilet or something like that.
Yes, we're going to find
It doesn't look like a toilet, though. It looks more like it didn't look like the urinal thing like the first one did. But if we're going with the same theme, if that was number one and it was a urinal, that makes sense. If this is number two and it's just a hole, that makes sense as well. I don't know who would shit sideways into this hole that's on a wall, but you know what? There's weirder shit that happens in video land. So quite, you know, pun completely intended.
Absolutely. And there's going to be a big like Kingpin style reveal that there's this like mob boss snake plumber that
I'm the actually, king of shitland.
Yeah. He's going to overthrow Mother Brain. I'm the real threat. I'm the Lord Zedd here.
Oh my God, that'd be so funny. So then they go to the video monitor, which is where we were talking about that businessman calling from Castlevania.
Yeah, it's like, is this Castlevania's lawyer? Like, what's... Who is this guy?
I do think it's funny. In that phone call, it cuts to a video. It cuts to one of the zombies, like, walking, and it stops and waves at the camera. If you notice that, like, it stops and just kind of goes, hey, but doesn't say anything. He just kind of waves. I thought that was a little funny. I thought that was actually a pretty good joke that, like, the zombie that's supposed to be attacking him was like, oh, I'm on TV. Oh, yeah. I got to make sure I say hi, Mom.
Hi, Mombie.
Hi, Mombie. So that's when they decide, like, we need to get Simon's memory back. And Kevin makes a Star Trek reference that I thought was kind of weird. He's like, I saw this in Star Trek once.
Yeah.
I thought that was just so strange that they, like, some of the pop culture references in the show are very bizarre.
Yeah. I thought it was, I mean, it was kind of ahead of its time as far as, like, lampshading the cliche. Like, feel like that's something you see more now, like, yeah, it's cliche, we know, haha, like, it's a very Dan Harmon thing, but you, I guess you didn't really see that back then, like, hey, we know it's a cliche and we're gonna lean into it. But so I was a little surprised by that.
But even then, like, when was, like, Star Trek, when did The Next Generation come out? Because, and I don't know all the different series of Star Trek. I'm not a big Star Trek fan, not because I think it's bad, I've never really given it a serious try.
Right.
The original Star Trek was out in the 60s, right? So,
yeah.
And it was on for reruns for a long time. Was there another series between this and that? Like, I can't imagine kids knowing Star Trek in 1989. Unless it was something that their parents watched. Like, my dad loved Star Trek, and he, like, so I knew about it as a kid, but it's like, I wouldn't have gotten the joke that he was making if I was 8 or 9 years old, you know?
Yes. And it's interesting also that Kevin made the joke when he's supposed to be a teenager. Like, would he have watched it?
Would he have watched that? I mean, it's possible in reruns or something. Yeah. I don't know. But they go about trying to teach him how to be vampire, or Simon Belmont, the vampire hunter again. And all of the things make no, like, all of their lessons make no fucking sense. It doesn't work with this. The first thing, Kevin's trying to teach him about bats. I'm like, what do you mean about bats? Like, just tell him what a vampire is.
Yeah.
Just go straight to that. Like, you don't, why? I understand, like, how bats and vampires are connected, but Simon doesn't know what a bat is. And then Kevin references Batman and Robin. And then Simon's like, what? We're talking about birds now? So he knows what birds are.
Right.
But he doesn't know what.
Yeah.
That's very.
Yes. Speaking of 60s things, you know, Batman came out in the 60s as well, the Adam West one. So
it's very true. That's very true. It's I mean, clearly Jeffrey Scott, please come on the show. We love you. Clearly Jeffrey Scott is a fan of 60s TV. I mean, it would make sense. Right. Like, if he's in his, like, 20s or 30s when he's writing these, then, like, I mean, he have to be, like, those shows would have been on in reruns or during their initial airing, you know? Especially with animation, he probably wrote these in, like, 2 or 3 years prior to release, because it takes so long for anime. Though the animation in the show isn't the best, like, it's fine, but it's not the greatest. In fact, we'll talk about some of my issues with animation in the next episode specifically. But Simon doesn't know how, so they're teaching about bats. Kevin gets super frustrated, and then Princess Lana decides to teach him dancing to get back his physical stamina, his physical prowess, which I'm like, dude's still ripped. Like, he hasn't lost his physique.
It's true.
I thought that was super strange. And then it leads to one of the strangest scenes in the entire episode, where he remembers how to be a ballerina. Well, sorry, ballerino is technically what it's called, but he calls himself Simon Belmont, the ballerina. He'd be the ballerino, technically. And he falls into a portal that just is randomly there. And he comes out on this street. It's like, it almost looks like a street in New York City, like an alleyway. And this random, somewhat racist stereotype of a ninja shows up, who doesn't look Asian, actually. I don't know if, I have no idea what that was, but he's supposed, he's trying to stop three guys who have bags of money with like masks on. So they're clearly like robbing or like they're thieves or whatever. Simon comes through, knocks them all down, and the guy's like, I've never seen a like a ballerina ninja or something like that.
Yes, they do a name drop of a game in that, because I was trying to figure it out too. I was like, what's going on here? But the ninja in his offensive accent said, what was it? Like, stop now or you will face the Wrath of the Ninja, which is an old game, Wrath of the Ninja.
Was that an NES game?
Yeah.
Okay, I was thinking maybe, like, that's strange. That's like an obscure title too, because like, it yes. Was it super popular? I can't imagine that it was at the time.
If I am remembering correctly, which I may not be, but if I'm remembering correctly, that's like the controversial game because it originally had like the bosses were like Batman and Spider-Man, and they had to be changed. They had to change the sprites because they were just clearly like the people who made the game were like, let's fight Batman. Like, obviously it's supposed to be like a demon or something in the game, but they clearly made the sprites to look like Spider-Man and Batman.
Do you think it's Wrath of the Black Manta?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Because that's the only, I tried Googling Wrath of the Ninja NES and nothing comes up. There is a Wrath of the Ninja movie from 1987 that is an anime film.
Maybe that's it's what not I'm referencing, but that's not a video game. I'm trying to think of what video game I'm thinking of then.
But in any, I mean, I thought it might have just been like Ninja Gaiden or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I thought at first too.
Just like a reference quick to Ninja Gaiden. But this leads me to a point about this episode and next episode that it's pretty prevalent in both of these. It really, like, I don't know how we've done this, but it seems like there's been themes that have like progressed through our double recording sessions. Like we said last time, you know, we record these two at a time, and the last one, it was just Simon's an asshole. This one is there are just portals ever, like warp zones to random places everywhere. They appear randomly. They show up randomly. It doesn't make any sense. Most of them look like buttholes. I'm not going to lie.
Yes, I wrote that down on here. I wrote tree butthole in my notes.
And it's in this episode too. Yes. It's in this episode later on. Like, I can't believe we're 20 minutes in and we're bare, like, we're probably maybe 5 minutes into the episode and we've been recording for 20 minutes. It's just, it, most of the portals look like buttholes. That's just what it is. So we'll move on. We'll keep moving on. Simon gets trained by Duke. I forget what Duke even tries to teach him. Mega Man tries to teach him how to use his whip again. Doesn't quite work. He like tries to whip something and then I don't even know. But then it cuts to they're outside. I don't think in Congo Land, but they're outside somewhere, and Kevin turns into a drill instructor, and he like gets a kick ready, like he poses in a kick and then hits the button and he just launches himself and attacks like a cardboard cutout of, sorry, the Count, not Dracula, the Count. And then Simon tries to do it and for some reason he takes off his pants. I don't get it. Like, what was he? I don't understand why. Like, was he trying to hold his pants and he just slipped and they came undone? And I don't know why that happened. It's such a random joke.
That is so strange that I didn't even like, I'm so used to the absurd at this point that it didn't stick out to me for some reason. I did make note that Kevin's drill instructor voice, I was like, kudos to the voice actor. Like, that was a pretty good voice that he did.
The next episode, I think all the voice actors do a phenomenal job, and we'll get into that too. Just thinking of that, but keep going. What were you going to say?
The other thing, talking about it now, like, I'm wondering if they were specifically calling him the Count because of the joke they make later with Simon.
Oh yes, because Kevin says like, how are you going to defeat the Count? And he's like, and Simon's like, well, I can do that. And he goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, it could have just been reverse engineered for that joke. I would not be surprised.
Now I'm wondering, like, that seems like a lot of work to get a really bad joke. Yeah, that was one of those jokes where I groaned and I was like questioning my life choices.
So, well, So then after all the training happens and it, you know, does wrong, it goes bad, Simon calls everyone by the wrong name. He calls Duke Puke. He calls Lana Leia. He calls her Princess Leia, which I was like, that's a pretty good Star Wars joke, actually. Yes. That's a pretty good. That's
all I of actually his don't names I thought were excellent. I was like, good writing. I like these jokes.
And but they're not mean. It's just clearly a confused person. I thought right. That was pretty funny. And he goes, I know who I am now. And he puts on a hat. I am Simon, the tour guide to Congo Land. And I misheard him the first time. I thought he said Funko Land. And I'm like, oh, that's a great reference. That's so clever because that's where you bought video games. But people, I mean, I didn't have a Funko Land near me, but it's like, you know, when you spend any time in the retro gaming community online, people glow about their times at Funko Land.
Right.
And people talk a lot of nostalgically and wax very poetically about Funko Land back in the 80s and 90s. So I thought it was like, oh, that's a cool reference. But then I realized that doesn't make any sense. He said Congo Land and that's where they're at. And
yes, I think Funko Land might have made more sense, though.
I probably, but then all this is happening and Mother Brain, of course, with her whatever magic mirror that she has, is able to see this and sends King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard to go try to grab Simon so they can like convert him to their side. And this is the first like brainwashing joke where they just, since she's Mother Brain, they just wash her entire thing, her yeah, like her
tank,
yeah. Her tank. Yeah.
She's like, what are you doing?
I'm gonna stain your brain.
I'm gonna stain your brains.
Well, because they say something. It's like they have this song they sing while they're cleaning her tank, and it's like, we'll get rid of the stains on Mother Brains or something. I couldn't understand what they said. I'd have to rewatch it again, but it didn't make any sense. Or I shouldn't say it didn't make sense. It made sense, but it's just a weird joke to have. It's one thing if they start washing her and then she's like, no, not me, you idiots, and then move on. That to me would have been more effective, but they really committed to this joke of King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard washing Mother Brain.
Yes, I appreciate that, though, because I saw that joke coming a mile away when brainwashing came up, and I was like, oh, Mother Brain, of course. But the fact that they went like above and beyond for the joke, I was like, okay, thumbs up. Before we do move on, I wanted to point out when Kid Icarus was trying to train Simon and he, instead of shooting an arrow, shoots the trumpet at Pitt's face or Kid Icarus's face. I think I'm going to make that the thumbnail because his face, when he pulls the trumpet off, off of his head,
ridiculous.
I was like, I'm pretty sure that's not what a face looks like, but you know, that's pretty hilarious drawing.
That's pretty good. At first I was confused because when Kid Icarus demonstrates how to shoot an arrow, it suddenly turns into an arrow with a net on it, but there was no net when he first shot the arrow.
Oh, yeah.
Like he shoots the arrow and then on the next scene it turns into a net. And I thought, did that happen to Simon too? He shot an arrow and on the next scene it was a trumpet. No. When I rewatched it today, it was a trumpet the whole time, which kind of bummed me out because I would have really found that like continuity error funny. I would have liked it just to be an arrow that turns into a trumpet, but you know, I guess they had to go for the normal thing.
Eat your heart out, Hawkeye. Trumpet arrows.
Hawkeye a kiss. Fucking Kid Icarus. I hate that character so much. So after this doesn't work, he calls a huddle, and that's when King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard kidnap Simon. They pull him in and they basically tell him, you know, you're actually evil. Of course the end team doesn't want to tell you like what you really are. You're there to hunt the end team. That's what you do. And they go to brainwash him. And this is my favorite scene of the entire episode by far. I was actually thinking this would be a good thumbnail, but you choose whatever. The Kid Icarus with the trumpet is also really good because I think that might actually be funnier than this. But they put Simon in what is essentially a bathtub. They fill it up with soap because they're brainwashing him. And then they just spin him around in a circle. And while he's spinning, they just shove pictures of things into his face and describe them to him. And that's how they brainwash him. Like, there's no scientific. They have all these gadgets. He has like a helmet on that. But from what I can tell, the helmet's not doing anything. Like, they could have. It has all these gadgets on this bathtub. So it looks like there's going to be some sci-fi thing that happens that, you know, they're going to zap his brain till he was brainwashed. No, they just spin him around in a circle and shove pictures in his face and tell him what they are. Like, Mother Brain is the most evil thing and you love hers, that kind of stuff.
Yes, it's brilliant because it's exactly what I would imagine brainwashing is when I'm like 6 or 7 years old and I haven't heard the term before. Like, yeah. Okay, yeah. You stick someone in a washing machine and then you tell them things. Like,
I wonder how many kids tried this. Like, they put their younger brother in like a tub and then just like spun them around real fast and be like, you are going to give me your Pokemon cards. I know Pokemon wasn't out at the same time, but you get the idea.
Yeah, I get it. They could still watch it and try it later.
I don't think Captain N would have been on reruns at the time that Pokemon came out.
But if they remembered it when they did see it.
But that's like later. I was going to say, like, Captain N ended in like, what, 91, 92? Yeah. So it would have been like 4 or 5 years later that Pokemon even came out in the U.S. So I can't imagine like an 8-year-old, now a 13-year-old, would do that still. You know, I just can't imagine that.
Fine, just rain on my parade.
I'm sorry, Dexter. I'm sorry. But you never know. Listeners, if you did that to your siblings, write in. If you try to brainwash them the Captain N style by putting them in a bathtub and spinning them around real fast and just shoving pictures into their face and says, you listen to this.
If you were inspired by Captain N and it affected your life around Pokemon, that very specific.
Give me, it would probably be more accurate. Give me all your Nintendo games.
Yeah, there you go.
Or something like that. But so they brainwash him. He realizes, or he can, now he thinks he's part of the, you know, working for Mother Brain, and he captures Kid Icarus, and Simon basically, you know, he's hunting the N team, and he calls Captain N Captain Nasty, which I thought was a little funny. I don't know why. Yeah. It's like Captain Nasty.
Yeah.
And it just made me laugh.
More of the amazing names in this episode. The other joke I appreciated when King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard first approached Simon, and they're like, you know, they grabbed him, and Simon's like, hey, do you know who I am? Because that'd be great if you know that, because I don't know who I am. Like, I actually, like, I got a smile. That got a smile out of me. I thought that was kind of funny.
I always kind of find that stuff funny when it's like you're expecting the one reaction, and then it's like, it's kind of like how, what is it? Chuck Jones does. I mean, I'm not comparing this cartoon to Chuck Jones. Chuck Jones is a genius, but the idea in terms of comedy is where you set up an expectation and then you subvert that. That's a lot of Chuck Jones's Looney Tunes cartoons, especially with Wile E. Coyote, where like Wile E. Coyote will set up this ridiculous trap that looks like it would work, but then something, it subverts your expectations and you don't know how it's going to happen. And even when you do watch Wile E. Coyote enough and you understand the boulder's always going to fall on Wile E. Coyote, it's funny to see how it gets messed up. And that's why Chuck Jones is a genius. They kind of do a little bit of that with this, where it's like, it's setting up, hey, do you know who I am? And then he's like, no, but seriously, do you know who I am? Like, you're expecting like Simon to go with the falsified version of himself, but he doesn't. He's still so confused that
that's something he would have said even when he knew who he was. Like, that's something he would say.
Exactly. So like, it works really well in my, I mean, it's, I shouldn't say it works really well. It's a solid joke considering the source. No offense, Jeffrey Scott, we love you. Please come on the show.
Tree buttholes and all.
The tree. I mean, don't blame him for that. That was the animators. They put the tree buttholes in the show.
This is true.
Well, so Simon, they're looking for Simon. Sorry, you were going to say something, Dex?
No, go on.
They start looking for Simon because he basically they rescue Kid Icarus and they defeat King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard, and then you never see them again. You don't even see Mother Brain talk about it later on in the episode. Like, it's that one scene with Mother Brain and King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard, and that's it. You never see them again for the rest of the episode after they are defeated. Simon is still confused. He gets flung through a portal and he still doesn't know who he is, and he comes across Donkey Kong and he calls Donkey Kong Donkey Mama and determines that he is now Donkey Kong Jr., which I thought was a funny way to incorporate Donkey Kong Jr. into this in the wrong way, but in a good wrong way. And when the end team goes after him, they also walk through that butthole tree warp zone. And I thought it was weird that Kevin and Lana appeared like behind some bushes, but you could see them standing. And then Kid Icarus and Mega Man just push through this bush. Like, you can see this perfect square that they just push out. I'm like, why is that there? Like, why? I don't know. I just thought that was a weird choice by the animators to have them appear there. But anyway, so them trying to track Simon is kind of like a lesser thing. The more humorous stuff is Simon learning to become Donkey Kong Jr. You know, like, I think actually one of my favorite jokes is, like, you know, Donkey Kong is showing him the ropes of how to be an ape. And the first thing you see is, like, you know, Simon strips down to just that and a loincloth. So he's this ripped dude with just a loincloth. And he is sitting on Donkey Kong's shoulder. And Donkey Kong shows him how to swing. He instead of swinging on vines like Donkey Kong does, he swings on Donkey Kong's hair. And probably the funniest joke, in my opinion, of that whole section is where he says, like, well, what do we do now? And he's like, well, we pick bugs off each other. And Simon just walks into Donkey Kong's fur and comes out with a giant, like, tick or something like that, and kicks it and just yeets it off the cliff. He just boots it right off. And both my wife and I were watching, because my wife, I said before, she's not into this stuff. But we were watching it downstairs last night, and she was just like, what is happening here? That's so gross looking. And she was very concerned for a little bit, wondering, like, what is, like, where's he going to go when he's going into Donkey Kong's fur?
I am surprised that you didn't bring up when he actually found Donkey Kong, when he accidentally found Donkey Kong.
I wrote down that note. I'm sorry. Yeah, keep going.
When I was going, you're like, you're about to say something. And I was about to blame Jeffrey Scott. I'm sorry, Jeffrey Scott. Please, we love you. Please come on the show.
We love you. Please come on the show.
I don't blame him for the tree buttholes anymore, but I do blame him for writing that Simon Belmont, in discovering Donkey Kong, finds his toe. And he's like, this is a weird rock. This rock has an ingrown toenail. And
I've, like, never seen a boulder with an ingrown toenail is the exact quote.
Yes. And then proceeds to grab it and rip it off of the toe. Apologies.
I think I didn't bring that up because it scarred me so bad. Because that is, listeners, for those who don't know, anything involving, like, especially in, like, when you see in horror movies when people lose their nails, whether it's toenails or fingernails, it skeeves me out to no end. Like, I can't handle it. It's so gross to me. And it makes me so uncomfortable. I even, like a week or two ago, I stubbed my toe real bad, and I got legitimately anxious that I was going to lose the nail because that stuff grosses me out so bad.
Yeah. When I saw it coming, I was like, don't do it. Don't do it.
he rips the nail off. I cringe when I watch that. I think I just put that out of my mind.
But obviously, Donkey Kong notices, and that's how he finds Simon. Mm-hmm. He's like, gets all mad. But yes, I loved all of the visual gags. From this point on, I was like, all but, like, giving a standing ovation for all the amazing visuals from the going into the hair and getting rid of the fleas to the swinging on Donkey Kong's hair. I need to make a gif of that, of him, like, rotating around Donkey Kong's head, swinging on his hair. And then when when the end team finds Simon, yeah, this was like, this is so absurd and brilliant, and I loved it. They find Donkey Kong sleeping, and, you know, the cartoon, like, pardon me for my listeners, but as he's breathing out the puff of breath, Simon is on the puff of breath sleeping, just going in and out of Donkey Kong's mouth, like sleeping on a little cloud of air puff. It's so stupid. I love it.
I'm with you on that. I found that bizarrely charming, even though it was one of the strangest things I have ever seen in this. I mean, and that's saying something. We've seen a lot of weird shit in this cartoon, but, like, this is just one of the strangest jokes. It's one of the best jokes, in all honesty. Like, it's such a good visual gag. I think you're right. Like, the visual gags in this, I think, are the best the show has been so far. And I mean, it's not a high bar, but it's still better than most of the other stuff we've seen. And this one specifically, I think, was really good. Like, I'm with you. I thought that was really funny.
And like the setup, like somehow I saw it coming when they showed him sleeping, and I was like, he's not in Donkey Kong's mouth. And then you see the little speck on the breath of air in the distance, and I was like, oh my god, he is. This is amazing.
And then they have to like catch him midair from like floating in Donkey Kong's breath or whatever. And then they catch him
sleeping like in a cute little fetal position, like on the phone.
How strong? I mean, if you think about that, let's break this down. For Donkey Kong's breath to be able to propel a man that size, like he's pretty jacked, so he's got to weigh a good amount because he's all muscle, right?
Right.
It's pretty much one of those indoor skydiving tunnels. Is his mouth. Like he could literally just like the trees branches should be shooting off because it's probably like a 60 mile per hour winds keeping him afloat, keeping Simon afloat.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. This is all true and still all amazing.
I don't know why I'm breaking that down so technically, but like, I mean, how fast does the wind have to be going to keep a man afloat? You know what? Hold on. How fast does indoor skydiving blow its wind? That's not a good. Wow. Okay. It needs to go at terminal velocity. Terminal velocity is the highest velocity attainable by an object falling through air. The air moves upwards at 120 miles per hour. So Donkey Kong breathes at 120 miles per hour.
When he's sleeping. He's not even trying.
I was not expecting this. It's canon. It's in a Nintendo cartoon. Donkey Kong breathes at 120 miles per hour. It is a fact, and I need to see this represented in more games.
Yes. It's going to be in the next rumored Donkey Kong game that's supposed to be coming out this year.
I'm sorry, the idea of someone breathing at 120 miles per hour, like any time that he just takes a breath, like trees just go flying. Like he would blow away entire towns. He causes hurricanes every single breath. That's just what happens. Okay. Sorry, this is my favorite episode so far, just because of that, just because we learned that Donkey Kong blows at 120 miles per hour.
Yes, I'm with it.
So they get Simon off of Donkey Kong's breath at 120 miles per hour, and they take him down, and then they pretty much just like warp him into Castlevania super conveniently. It just shows up in Castlevania again, and this is where they finally bring back the Dracula like plot point. That's right. We are almost 45 minutes into recording. And the thing we mentioned 40 minutes ago is finally back. It's finally here to talk about Dracula and its minions again.
How many of you are like me where you're like, oh yeah, I love this.
Just completely forget about it. And this scene I thought was super weird because there's not a whole lot of stuff that happens. Like they all suddenly, like all the Captain N team forgets how to fight. They're all just like, well, we can't fight zombies. Kevin tries. His blaster for some reason doesn't work on zombies. Doesn't make any sense, but it decides not to work on zombies. And Simon's the only one.
Plot armor.
Pretty much. Plot armor. Yeah. I like that. Oh, they have plot armor on. I'm going to start using that for whenever it doesn't make sense. Like someone's invulnerable for no reason. Oh, it's plot armor. Duh. Right.
Yeah.
So they nothing, you know, Kevin is the only person who tries anything. It doesn't work. Mega Man doesn't try shooting them. Kid Icarus doesn't try shooting them. Princess Lana doesn't try anything. None of them try anything. And Simon's the only one to come up with the idea of like, what if I just run into them? And that's all he does. He goes into a rage because they screw up his hair, which is the only Simon-like thing he's done since he's lost his memory. And they go around and he just swings into them. He uses his knowledge from Donkey Kong and he swings into all the zombies. And Dracula's like, oh, it'll take more than that. Or sorry, the count will take more than that. And then he whistles and Donkey Kong's hand shows up through the portal and swipes out the rest. And that's how they defeat all the zombies. It's a very weird ending. It's very contrived. And they're like, Simon, you have your memory back. He's like, what are you talking about? I know who. I'm Donkey Kong Jr. And I'm going home. And he just goes back home with Donkey Kong.
I was expecting another point for this episode. I was expecting them to get in this battle, to get backed into a corner. There's no other hope. Simon gets hit on the head in the last moment, gets his stuff back, and then they are able to take down the zombies. And that didn't happen. And I was like, what? This episode's almost over. What?
Well, the way they resolve the story is that after all that happens, Donkey Kong, Simon is still thinking he's Donkey Kong Jr. He just finishes drinking some coconut water out of a coconut, and he asks his donkey mama, and he asks for another coconut, and she gives him one, and it bonks him on the head, and that's how he remembers everything. And the episode ends with him running away from Donkey Kong, who still wants this child that they have, and Simon runs away, and the episode's over. That's it.
Yeah. Yes.
It's really anticlimactic.
I didn't, I saw it coming, but I didn't. Obviously, I knew they'd have to reset the status quo, the type of show that it is. But I was like, okay, didn't see that coming. Well done. Jeffrey Scott, you now have one-upped yourself. You've set a new bar for
episodes. We love you. Please come on the show. Every time we say his name, that's just got to be what it is. So, yeah, and really, it's astounding to me that Kevin! doesn't do anything. It's such a strange way to end the episode with just Simon running off. It's very odd. So, what were you going to say, Dex?
I was just going to say, truly the only point against it from me is the lack of King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard. Because that's usually the highlight of all of the episodes that are good, is more King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard. But strangely, not very present in this one, but still my favorite episode so far.
But also in more recent episodes, they haven't been as funny. Though I forgot, the way they defeat King Hippo is Princess Lana dances with him.
That's right. Oh, yeah. I meant to mention that in this. Lana seemed like a jerk a lot in this episode. She was meaner to Simon than anybody else.
Simon has tried to force himself on her six times.
Yes, it's warranted.
Just in the last two episodes.
But she's usually a little bit more aloof towards him as far as when he does things. She's always like, oh, Simon,
you rapist, you.
Exactly.
You attempted rapist.
She's way more aggressive towards him. And I can't think of a specific example, but
when Simon's looking in the mirror and he doesn't remember who he is. She's like, what are you talking about? You're Simon Belmont. And, you're an egotistical, and it goes through all these insults. She just talks about how awful of a person he is. I mean, that did kind of throw me off a little bit too, because she's so, you said, aloof. And then in that one moment, she's like, fuck this guy. I'm going to rip him a new one. It was very strange. I do also think, I don't know if I, yeah, I forgot about this portion. When Simon is looking in the mirror when they're holding up the mirror to him to be like, remember who you are, the animation for the faces he's making in the mirror is very weird. It's kind of like they don't actually animate it. It's just still frame poses. So it's like, I know listeners can't see that, but it's like instead of seeing him looking around, touching his chin or looking at his nose, it's just him making random one frame faces. And it's not like the face's last one frame. It's just that they.
It's like the speaking of Chuck Jones from before. It's like the Chuck Jones joke when Bugs Bunny would drink something that didn't sit well with him.
Yes.
Make those faces.
It's pretty much that with all the good sound effects. So, Dexter, final thoughts on episode 10, Simon the Ape Man.
Loved it. I think it's my favorite one so far. I just like the pacing of it. Is absurd, but I think it works in its favor. the visual jokes, which I'm biased to as an artist, I love the visual gags, and the plot was simple, but they got a lot out of it, because I was a little worried at first. I was like, oh no, it's the amnesia episode. I'm doing air quotes, the amnesia episode, because there's always one in a show like this. So I was not expecting much, and maybe that's also what helped it too. Like when that became the plot, I was like, oh no, this is not going to be good. And then it kept like, okay, this is funny, this is good. And then the ending came back and I was like, oh yeah, this is amazing, I love this.
Simon seems to be the one character that constantly gets his personality changed, because it happened in the Mother Brain one too, where he falls in love with Mother Brain. He falls madly in love with Mother Brain. He also gets manipulated in that other episode, the last month episode, where you know, we had the one that we had to cut short a little bit, the nightmare on Mother Brain Street, where, you know, all their like worst nightmares come true, and Simon has to, like, he tricks Captain N, and he's like, he gets manipulated into doing, I don't know, it's been a while since we watched that episode. That was one of my least favorites, I think. Nightmare on Mother Brain Street, other than the seven like evil, like goblin things, I forget what they were even. Other than them, the rest of that episode was not fun, but this episode so far has made up for it. I'm with you. I think my final impressions of this one is that I liked it a lot. I was laughing a whole bunch, and the fact that Donkey Kong breathes at 120 miles an hour is just a great fun fact that I will try to incorporate in quizzes that no one will ever get, because like, who asked the question, how fast, at what speed is Donkey Kong's breath when he's breathing?
It needs, you know, to be like your new go-to like small talk when you're like meeting somebody new. I think it needs to be.
Did you know that Donkey Kong breathes at 120 miles an hour? Get away from me. What are you talking about? I'm like, I'm so sorry.
You could simulate jumping from an airplane using a sleeping Donkey Kong. Like, what? Did I just have a stroke? What is that? What did you say to me?
That's how the end team practices skydiving.
Yeah.
Just by that. But okay. So, Dexter, where can the good people find you online?
You can find me wherever you type in my name into a social media. No, mostly just Instagram and Twitter. You'll find me there. The main ones that folks are using these days. Also, yeah, that's Dexter is the first name. Morrill is the last name. I can't remember which one has the underscore in between the two names, but should show up.
You'll see it tagged on the episode for this. Like if you look on my Twitter and Instagram feed, you'll see him tagged on this. Anything else though that you want to promote?
Yes. By the time this comes out, there is a Kickstarter scheduled to be during the month of February that I am a part of. It's called the Breakneck Anthology. It's a comic book anthology that is going to be a black and white series. It's all about fantasy stories. Each one, it's got a bunch of writers and comic artists, and it's a lot easier to package something like that as a team like this. So we're all working together. We each have our own stories. I've got a 6-page story in this anthology. So it would be great if you could support that. It's the only way we're making a profit. The only way we're making any money off of this is any money that goes beyond the printing of this anthology is being distributed amongst the creators. So other than that, I pretty much did this pro bono, but it was really fun. I think if you're a fan of fantasy and adventure, which if you're listening to this and watching Captain N, I would think that you are, definitely check it out. The Breakneck Anthology Kickstarter. I'll be sharing links to that as well, but check that out.
All right. And as usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillOwningPod on all of them. If you want to email me, you can email me stillowningcontact@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, you can do it in a number of ways. Probably the easiest way for you is give it a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting app you use, because that helps more people find the show. If you want to support the show monetarily, you can go to patreon.com/stillowningpod. For $1 a month, you will get each of the episodes a couple days early at a higher bitrate, and also access to a patron exclusive Discord. For $5 a month, you will get all of that plus 2 extra bonus episodes a month, 2 bonus mini episodes a month. So go to patreon.com/stillowningpod and consider checking all that stuff out. And of course, the final shout out I have is the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of children receiving inpatient care at hospitals. So go to bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating. And that will do it for this next episode of the Captain N series. Dexter, thank you for joining me.
Thank you as always.
And I will see you all next time.